Our first reading today is from Acts chapter 2, verses 14a, 36 through 41. Today's reading is the conclusion of Peter's sermon, preached following the giving of the Holy Spirit to the apostles on the day of Pentecost. The center of his preaching is the bold declaration that God has made the crucified Jesus both Lord and Christ. Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed the crowd. Therefore, let the entire house of Israel know with certainty that God has made him both Lord and Messiah, this Jesus whom you crucified. Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and to the other apostles, Brothers, what should we do? Peter said to them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, so that your sins may be forgiven, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and for your children, and for all who are far away, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to him. And he testified with many other arguments and exhorted them, saying, Save yourselves from this corrupt generation. So those who welcome his message were baptized, and that day about 3,000 persons were added. The word of the Lord. Our psalm today is 116. Will the congregation please read the bold print? I love the Lord, who has heard my voice and listened to my supplication. The cords of death entangled me. The anguish of the grave came upon me, and I came to grief and sorrow. How shall I repay the Lord for all the good things God has done for me? I will fulfill my vows to the Lord in the presence of all God's people. O Lord, truly I am your servant. I am your servant, the child of your handmaid. You have freed me from my bonds. I will fulfill my vows to the Lord in the presence of all God's people.
In the courts of the Lord's house, in the midst of you, O Jerusalem. Hallelujah.
Our second reading today is from 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 17 through 23. The imagery of exile is used to help the readers of this letter understand that they are strangers in a strange land. Christians no longer belong to this age. Through the death of Christ, we belong to God, so that our focus, faith, and hope are no longer on such things as silver or gold. If you invoke as Father the one who judges all people impartially according to their deeds, live in reverent fear during the time of your exile. You know that you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your ancestors, not with perishable things like silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without defect or blemish. He was destined before the foundation of this world, but was revealed at the end of the ages for your sake. Through him you have come to trust in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are set on God. Now that you have purified your souls by your obedience to the truth, so that you have genuine mutual love, love one another deeply from the heart. You have been born anew, not of perishable, but of imperishable seed, through the living and enduring word of God, the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please stand for the reading of the gospel.
Thank you, Winnie. Today's gospel is from Luke 24. The colorful story of Jesus' appearance to two disciples on the road to Emmaus answers the question of how Jesus is to be recognized among us. Here he is revealed through the scriptures and in the breaking of bread. Now on that same day, when Jesus had appeared to Mary Magdalene, two disciples were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and talking with each other about all these things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing, Jesus himself came near and went with them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What are you discussing with each other while you walk along?" They stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answered, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem who does not know the things that have taken place there in these days?" He asked them, "What things?" They replied, "The things about Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all people, and how our chief priests and leaders handed him over to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he would be the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things took place. Moreover, some women of our group astounded us. They were at the tomb early this morning, and when they did not find his body there, they came back and told us that they had indeed seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were there with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not believe all the prophets had declared. See him." Then he said to them, "Oh, how foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all the prophets have declared. Was it necessary that the Messiah should suffer these things and then enter into his glory?" Then, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them the things about himself in all the scriptures. As they came near the village to which they were going, he walked ahead as if he were going on. But they urged him strongly, saying, "Stay with us, because it is almost evening and the day is not nearly over." So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, blessed it, and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, Were not our hearts burning within us while he was talking to us on the road, while he was opening the scriptures to us? That same hour they got up and returned to Jerusalem, and they found the 11 and their companions gathered together. They were saying, "The Lord has risen indeed, and he has appeared to Simon." Then they told what had happened on the road and how he had made known to them in the breaking of bread. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. Grace and peace to you in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. One of the reasons I enjoy doing these services is the preparation time and study that I put into preparing for this service. It starts with me asking Mary Brown in our church office to send me the lessons and the gospel for the day, and then reading and carefully trying to discern what God is nudging me to focus on. Usually that means I read and reread the gospel for the day, as that is what the sermon is generally preached about. But when I received today's lessons, I found that today's gospel from Luke 24, where Jesus appears to the two disciples on the road to Emmaus, was the same scripture that I preached on 2 years ago on this Synod Convention Sunday. So, I could have reached in and drug that out and gave you a rerun, but I didn't think that what was God was encouraging me to do. So I began to focus more closely on the lessons for today as possible alternatives for this sermon, and I ultimately chose today's lesson from 1 Peter. More specifically, it was verse 18 where St. Peter writes, "You know that you were ransomed from your futile ways, inherited from your fathers, not with perishable things such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb, without blemish or spot. And even more specifically, it was the words, "You know that you were ransomed." Ransomed. What a powerful word. Ransom, whose definition is the holding or freeing of a prisoner in return for payment of ransom. Ransom, whose English origin comes from the word redemption. Now, perhaps it was because it was so close to Easter when I began preparing for today that I was so drawn to these words, "I have been ransomed." Perhaps it was that I was inspired by the knowledge that I have been redeemed through the blood of my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And I do know I was inspired by that. But I find that I'm always a bit drawn to this word, redemption. And I believe it's one of the reasons for this is because of the work of my oldest brother. In many ways, my brother Kurt and I could not be more different. You see, Kurt is an artist. He's educated, he's trained, he works in the theater. And he has a love for Shakespeare like no one I know. I, on the other hand, needed the clef notes in my high school English just to have a clue how to understand the writings of Shakespeare. And to this day, Shakespeare is kind of similar to a foreign language to me. But not my brother Kurt. You see, Kurt believes so strongly in Shakespeare that he started a prison program years ago that he named Shakespeare Behind Bars. Kurt believed that by having maximum security prisoners play the roles from Shakespeare's plays, that they would see themselves through these characters, and it would help them understand what their actions had done to their victims. And in some strange way, it would help them through their redemption of their crimes. Now, when I first heard this, I thought, just another idea for my brother Kurt to get his Shakespeare fix. And when he told me about his notion of redemption, I was thoroughly confused. Kurt had this idea around 1991. Now, after 25 years, Kurt's Shakespeare Behind Bars program has proven to greatly reduce the recidivism for the prisoners who participate in his program and then go on to get released from prison. Recidivism is a fancy word meaning they get out and they don't go back in. They were ransomed. And in some strange way, perhaps redeemed from their crimes. If you'd like to learn more about Shakespeare Behind Bars, there was a documentary made about it several years ago. It premiered at the Sundance Film Festival. It's still available today on Netflix or Amazon. I think you'd find it quite interesting. But what I want to focus on this morning is the redemption that comes through Jesus Christ. When Jesus cried out on the cross, he used a word that meant paid in full. The same word that'd be stamped across bills when they were paid. Jesus paid in full for our sin on Calvary. Our redemption cost God his Son. Our redemption cost Jesus his life. For Jesus for us to be redeemed by Jesus, Jesus had to leave the glories of heaven. He had to take on a robe of human flesh. He had to face the rejection of this world. He had to endure the mock and scorn of his enemies. And he had to suffer the horrific death of an old rugged cross. Jesus paid the price for our redemption on Calvary's Hill. With every lash on his back as the Roman soldiers scourged him, Jesus paid the price. With every thorn that sunk deep into his brow, Jesus paid the price. With each swing of that hammer that drove spikes into his feet and his hands, Jesus paid the price. And with every drop of his precious blood that fell there at Golgotha, Jesus paid the price. So as ransomed prisoners from our sin, what's our recidivism to sin? Are we behaving like actors in a Shakespeare play, or as redeemed disciples on a journey? Because Jesus doesn't want us to simply act like Christians. He wants us to be authentic, dynamic disciples. And the only way to be dynamic disciples is to allow God to change us from the inside out. God wants a personal relationship with each of us. He wants to be involved in every part of our lives. God is not satisfied with visitation rites on a Sunday morning or a Thursday or a Friday evening. God wants to be at the center of our lives, at the center of who we are, at the center of who we're becoming. You know, as Christians, we're supposed to be transformed into the image of Jesus. And this transformation does not happen overnight. It is something we have to work at, we have to struggle with, we have to pray about, and we have to be willing to accept. If we have accepted Jesus as our Lord and Savior, then we should have a real desire to be like Christ and to behave like his disciple. At the heart of real discipleship is a desire to do what God has called us to do, not out of duty, but out of the love for our Savior. If we want to change the way we live our daily lives, if we want to be dynamic disciples, then we need to allow God to transform us and transform our thinking. If we're truly grateful for the ransom Jesus paid for us, don't just act like Christians. Be dynamic disciples. A gem dealer was strolling down the aisles of the Tucson Gem and Mineral Show when he noticed a blue-violet stone about the size and shape of a potato. He looked it over, and then as calmly as possible, he asked the seller, "You want $15 for this?" The seller, realizing that the stone isn't nearly as pretty as many others in the box, lowered the price to $10. The stone has since been certified as a 1,905-carat natural star sapphire, about 800 carats larger than the largest stone of its kind. It was appraised at $2.3 million. It took a lover of stones to recognize this sapphire's worth, and it took our God, the lover of souls, to recognize the true value of ordinary-looking people like
us. God sees something special in each of us. Even in our sin, God deemed us valuable enough that he gave his only son for our redemption. Are we living our lives as ransomed, dynamic disciples of God? We are ransomed. We are ransomed indeed. Amen.